Man, so much crap was announced today.
What? Are you mad?
I actually am mad. Let me tell you why. Hello and welcome to a very special edition Cult Cast. My name is Erfan Elijah. I'm your host. I'm here with the king himself, Leander Caney. And we are here to talk about all the hardware that Apple just released into the world. A lot of great stuff. I'm happy and I'm not happy. And we just wanted to go into our initial impressions of the things that Apple talked about today. It was definitely an interesting press event, don't you think? They had a lot of problems with their live keynote stream. Well, I should say, for the first time ever, Apple had a live keynote stream, which is awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm sort of wondering, why did they do it now? Why did they do it for this one? They did it a few times in the past, but they haven't been consistent. You know, they'll do it for one event and then the next.
Oh, really? I thought this was the first time they'd ever done it.
No, they've done it a couple of times, even with Steve Jobs events. And they were actually there was a rash of them a few years ago, 3-4 years ago. They did a whole bunch in a row, and then they stopped doing it. And you know, it was never clear why they started doing it and why they stopped doing it. But anyway, you were saying you were upset.
Yeah. Let me just get this out on the front end here. It's been 7 months since I plurked down my close to $800 for my iPad 3. I mean, $800. And yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like Apple at least give me 12 months of feeling like my gear is an old hat, because they didn't just give the new iPad, the fourth generation iPad, I should say, the new one they just released today. It's not a soft update. I mean, they improved it quite a bit, don't you think? Yeah, I mean, it's got faster Wi-Fi. It's got... Yeah. The A6X chip, which is twice as fast computationally and also twice as fast graphics-wise. It has the lightning adapter. It has the expanded LTE. The screen, the Retina screen's the same. But, yeah. I mean, what the heck?
I know. Everything else is much better. I know. This is like when the first iPhone came out, you know, and then Steve dropped the price on it by a couple of $100.
This is exactly the reference I was thinking of.
Yeah, and it drops all the early adopters right in it.
And I could tell people were pissed, because as soon as I tweeted out, it's been 7 months since I bought my iPad 3 and Apple just made it old hat, it got a zillion retweets. And then people were tweeting at me, and they were telling me, oh, I just bought mine 2 months ago. You know, because the holidays are coming up. People are starting to buy these things as gifts. And yeah, we're at the end of October.
I know, it stinks. This is Apple. They're, you know, they're pretty, they're a cutthroat company.
They just killed the baby, as it were.
Yeah. I know, there's going to be a lot of, I guess they're putting on a new release cycle. They must be changing the release cycle from spring to fall.
Right. I mean, it makes sense that they wanted to update the iPad, you know, to have the lightning adapter. I mean, that makes sense, because they want to have all their mobile devices all on the same charging platform.
Right. Yeah, for sure. But it's pretty ruthless. I mean, like you said.
It really is. Because, I mean, the new iPad, it's really expensive. I mean, I'm not going to just sell my iPad 3 for the moderate updates of the iPad 4. If you don't have an iPad, it's a great time to buy one. And I always say, when new gear comes out from Apple, you should buy it right away, because that's when you're going to get the most value out of it, right? And here we have a perfect example why.
Yep, exactly.
So that's obviously not the big news of the event. The big news was the iPad mini, which we have been talking about for probably a couple months now, and that has become a reality today. Leander, first thoughts when you saw it, what did you think?
I was just thinking, this is an incredible device. It looks really drool-worthy. I mean, everyone was – you could tell,
yeah.
Yeah, the rivers of drool all around. Everyone's like, oh, you know, they really want that. Because the Nexus 7 is really compelling. If you go and play with it in the store, or if you have one. I mean, I've only ever played with it in the store. But I always thought it was really nice. And when I've seen them out in the wild, I thought they're great. They're really, really – they have that perfect sort of the size, I think, is perfect for that, for putting in a pocket for extreme portability, but also usability. It's not too small it's like the sort of full screen iPad experience almost, but on a much more, you know, portable form factor. So I think I thought they were going to sell a bajillion loads. But then when I saw the price, I was like, oh.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
You drop your tea and your crumpet fell off the table.
I spat my tea, yeah.
Actually, that has been a similar sentiment that I've seen on Twitter. A lot of people, as it was building up, was like, hey, this looks cool. Hey, this looks great. And then they announced the price, and there was some deflation that happened.
Well, everyone
what it sounded like on the internet.
It's got to be, you know, if they're going to kill the Kindle, they could have killed the Kindle dead and the Nexus 7, right? Put it out at $200, and then it's
That's kind of the thing, right? I mean, they talk about the updated iBooks today to make it a better reading experience, and they had some other improvements. And I was this was at the very beginning of the keynote, and I was like, okay, they're setting themselves up to take on the Kindle head on, right? I mean, because the Kindle app is great for reading, obviously. And I was like, all right, here we go. And then, I see the price, and I'm like, ooh, you know, $329 for the 16-gigabyte Wi-Fi model, $429 for the 32, and $529 for the 64. They are going to have an LTE version that's going to be $130 more expensive for all those Wi-Fi prices that I just named if you want to get the LTE radio. But that's kind of a lot for an iPad mini. And I mean, how much is the Nexus 7? Is it $250?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's $200 or $250, and you know, it's a high quality tablet. But
$700-$800. I mean, you're right up there in you know with the premium iPad.
Yeah, I mean $500. I mean, let's say you get the you know the 32-gigabyte Wi-Fi model iPad Mini, $429 plus tax, which in my state is about 10%. It's like you're spending almost $500 for a really portable Kindle-like tablet. I feel like that's kind of a lot.
Right. And like he said also, they've sold the 100 millionth iPad, right? It was just sold a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So a lot of the, you know, I don't know, but the market's definitely not saturated, but there's a lot of people like us. I think a lot of all the tech philiacs, right? Everyone who likes all the Apple fans. I mean, we've already got iPads, and I think dropping another $500 on what's probably going to be a second iPad for a lot of people is a lot of money.
Well, it certainly will be for me, and I think I am going to pre-order one. So pre-orders start this Friday, and I believe Phil said that they're going to start shipping in a week, or was it 2 weeks? I couldn't quite catch it. I was actually having a lot of problems with my stream. It was cutting in and out, so some of the details I missed. Did you catch that?
I think it was shipping in a week.
Okay, and then the cellular model is going to ship 2 weeks after that in a whole slew of countries. So it's going to be available rather quickly. And it needs to be, right, because the holiday season's approaching. Let me tell you a little bit more about the specs. One of the things I really liked is the iPad mini had a really thin bezel. So like the entire thing is almost screen. And you could tell they really designed it after the iPhone 5. It has that really shiny bezel going around the outside of it, that little metal piece that they put on the outside. I thought it looked really beautiful. I know you did too. The back is anodized aluminum. It comes in gray and slate, just like the iPhone 5. It's 7.2 millimeters thin, which is 23% thinner than the fourth generation iPad, the one they just released. Phil so said it was as thin as a pencil, which I think is a great illustration of how thin this thing actually is. Weighs 0.68 pounds, which is really appealing to me because one of the things I didn't like about the new iPad is how heavy it was. FaceTime HD cam, 1024 by 768 display. So it's essentially this thing, the more I hear about it, it's essentially a smaller iPad 2. A lot of these specs are exactly like the iPad 2.
Right, yeah, exactly. And it's very clever, the way they've cut the screen. So it's the same, so app developers don't have to make any tweaks. There's going to be no fracturing of the software market. iPad, regular iPad apps will work on the big one and the little one just without any changes at all.
So, right, yeah. That's an important point too, because a lot of people were worried about that. We just got the iPhone 5, of course, which has a different aspect ratio than all the other Apple products out there. So that was a problem for developers. This one should work perfectly with all the software that's already out there. 10 hours of battery life, and as I said, it has almost identical specs to the iPad 2. That's a dual core A5 chip, 5 megapixel rear camera, and LTE. And it actually improved Wi-Fi. So there you have it, the iPad mini. I mean, it's pretty much exactly what we were expecting, right? I mean, everything got leaked. The only thing that we didn't know is what exactly it was going to look like.
Well, yeah, I mean the renderings and the room is pretty much nailed it. Everyone said, you know, thinner bezel, you know, same sort of same basic form factor, like 3/4 of the size. They got the screen size right. The specs, you know, there was all I think they leaked the camera and the LTE. Mm-hmm. Had been leaked. So a lot of the stuff I think had been leaked out. You know, Apple, you know, is really pretty. It's getting almost impossible for them these days to keep
anything secret. Yeah, I mean, they're selling such massive quantities of product now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the supply chain, right, is so leaky. I mean, they had the 13-inch MacBook Pro, the new iMac, the Mac Mini. I mean, the whole thing had been leaked.
But yeah, we pretty much knew about all of it. That's true.
There's nothing, you know, I don't think, you know, there's nothing like seeing it when they show it up on the stage. You know, like even you know, the iPad Mini pretty much knew exactly what it was going to be. You know, it was still a kick to see it and to see the videos they make. I mean, they really know how to sell the thing, and to see Phil talking through it. You know, it made me very much, you know, I mean, I, the surprise wasn't ruined. It was still a pleasure to see it. A lot of fun in watching the keynote.
Yeah, it definitely was. One last thing about the iPad Mini I want to mention. They really pushed the whole, you can hold the iPad with one hand now. And that's how it was designed. And they even mentioned that in the keynote, that the reason why they made the bezel around the screen so thin is so that you could operate the iPad with one hand. They really want people to be using this with just one hand, which I think is great. I'm really looking forward to getting my one hand on it. So pre-orders start this Friday, and I can almost guarantee you this thing is going to be sold out. I mean, if you don't get one right away, you're going to be waiting 3 to 4 weeks. And boy, what a great stocking stuffer to make. Don't you think, Leander? It fits right in there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, stocking stuffer, yeah, for some lucky kid. My wife was already bitching about it because I was saying, look, this is an education computer, but she's, you know, No high school districts are going to be able to, you know, like, are going to be able to afford this. It's going to go to all the private schools. So it set her off on a, you know, 30-minute rant about that. You know, it is a shame about the price, because the price would have made a big difference. It would have made this thing much more accessible and I think had a much bigger effect. You know, $329 is kind of like, I mean, even if it was $250 or $300, you know, like $299, $300 would have been much, much better.
Yeah. Oh, is that CNN calling?
Can't tell. It's San Jose. Maybe it's Tim.
Well, hey, let's talk about some of the other stuff that Apple released today. So we, as we expected, got a 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display. You know, nothing terribly exciting here. It looks just like the new Retina display MacBook Pro. That's the 15-inch model. It has a 2560 by 1600 display, pixel display, I should say. 29% higher contrast ratio than the previous model. They introduced this new anti-glare coating that they put on screens, which seems to be put on all their computers now, that it has 75% reduced reflection on the screen, 178 degree viewing angle, FaceTime HD camera, dual microphones, Intel dual core i5 and i7 processors, no surprise there, and a 7-hour battery life. And the price, $1,699. I was a little disappointed. I was kind of hoping we were going to see improved or a discrete graphics card in the 13-inch MacBook Pro. The 15-inch MacBook Pro has a discrete a graphics card, and I was kind of hoping they would add that to the 13-inch. Still don't have it. I think the other big announcement tonight or today was definitely the new iMac. That thing was beautiful.
Yeah, I'm much more interested in that than the 13-inch MacBook Pro. Although I saw a lot of people like are really keen on the MacBook Pro. I mean, there's a lot of pros out there that use the machines, you know, and they need a work machine, and a portable work machine. And the 13-inch makes a lot of sense for that.
Yeah, and the 13-inch is exactly what you would expect. It's just like the Retina display or the Retina display 15-inch MacBook Pro. It's just smaller. So let's talk about the iMac. This thing is crazy thin. I could not believe how thin they made it. I mean, it doesn't even look like a computer. It just looks like a display.
Yeah, right. And it is, yeah, that edge is real thin. But then, of course, if you look at it, I mean, you know, if you actually look at it, you know, perfectly side on, it's got a pretty big bulge in the back, just like Phil himself.
Your words, not mine.
Like by about 8 pounds. And the thing's like, what, 60, 70 pounds? So
No, it's not that heavy.
I don't know how heavy
60 or 70. I have never weighed one, but if I had to guess, I'd say it was 20 pounds max.
Is it really? No, it's heavier than that.
I don't know. Well, man, it's definitely under 1,000. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're right. It's not 70 pounds, but it is heavy. I mean, I thought it was heavy.
Well, I don't own one, so I really have no frame of reference because I'm not going to the Apple store and lifting up their iMacs. Yeah. Well, Phil said it was 80% thinner than the previous iMac at that edge, you know, so it comes to an edge. And as you mentioned, Leander, it kind of has a bulge in the back. They use friction stir welding, which is a fancy term to describe how they're putting the display on the iMac now. I'm expecting the iFixit score to be in the negative for this machine. If anything goes wrong with it at all, there's literally no way you're going to be able to repair it. You basically just have to throw it in your recycle bin and then go to Apple and get a new one.
Right. Correct. The weight is 21 pounds.
21 pounds. Okay, there you go. So before, would it used to be 29?
Well, I think this is for the old one, not the new one. So if the new one is over 10 pounds, then it's a lot lighter.
Holy smokes, yeah. I mean, not that it matters. It's not like you're going to be picking this up and taking it to Starbucks.
Right, it's true.
Actually, that would be pretty cool. If you do that, please send me a picture on Twitter. No optical drive. We had talked a lot about that. So Apple is making their move away from optical drives. I mean, it seems like an antiquated technology to me, and Apple's definitely headed that way. The 27-inch is going to come with the same 2560x440 display. Interesting fact, the 27-inch doesn't ship until December. Kind of late in the game if you're buying one for the holidays. There's also going to be a 21.5-inch model with a 1920x1080 display. That one's only $1,299. That's going to be shipping in November. Phil talked a lot about the optical quality and how it had been improved, and you're going to see crisper text, and the display is moved closer to the glass, so it looks like everything's just sitting right there. One of the things that he brought up, which I thought was interesting, was the Mac Fusion Drive. Is that what he called it?
Yeah. Well, not Mac Fusion, just the Fusion Drive.
Oh, okay. So the Apple Fusion Drive. This was actually really interesting. This is basically a hybrid drive, and these have been around for a while, except most hybrid drives use a small amount of flash paired with a large amount of mechanical storage, so you kind of get the best of both worlds, right? You can store stuff that you use often on the flash portion, and then things that you don't access very often go to the mechanical portion because that doesn't work as fast. So you have the option to order this new Mac Fusion Drive, and it comes with 128 gigs of flash. And then there's variable mechanical storage that can come in the drive. And the cool part about this is the software actually maintains what is stored on flash and what is stored on the mechanical hard drive. So your computer sees the entire hard drive as just one unit. And then if you use Aperture a lot, for instance, it will move Aperture onto the flash portion so that when you boot it, it loads a lot faster. That's pretty cool. I think it's a really smart way to give you kind of the best of both worlds, right? Like really fast flash along with, you know, that large amount of storage that a lot of people need.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say it, but I was kind of like, you know, a little bit skeptical. Like it sounds great. If it works, it sounds awesome. But like, you know, how much out of 128 gigs, you know, how many apps can you load onto there?
I don't know. I think you could probably load a lot. I mean, a lot of people are buying 128 gig SSDs and running their entire system off of it, like a MacBook Air, right?
But on a desktop, plus, you know, you want like things like, you know, Photoshop and all those pro apps, you know, they like to have scratch disk space.
That's true.
So that probably takes up a big chunk of it. And then, you know, you want to... I don't know. I was just sort of, you know, you know what it's like with no matter how big a hard drive you have, right? You remember when you got a terabyte drive and you thought, oh my God, I'm never going to fill that up.
Yeah, true.
Now it's full already. You know, every time you look at memory, it just fills up super fast, much faster than you ever thought it was going to do. And I thought, you know, maybe I'm just being a bit too cynical, but I was like,
I actually felt the same way you did when he described it. I was like, this actually sounds really cool, but I wonder how well it actually works.
I want to see an action before I'm convinced. But yeah, it did sound cool. It did sound cool. It sounded really, really good. Buster was saying that, you know, this is exactly how he has his Mac Mini set up with an SSD and a hard drive and how he uses it. But I don't, you know, but it, of course, it looks like two separate drives.
Well, that's actually exactly how I have my MacBook Pro set up. So I remove the optical drive. And I installed an SSD, and then I have the hard drive in there as well. So I use the SSD for pretty much all of my daily uses. So I have my apps installed on it. And then I have my mechanical hard drive kind of act as like a backup slash storage drive, and then also as a scratch disk. So if I start up Photoshop, it uses that mechanical drive as the scratch disk, and it's improved the performance on my computer. I mean, exponentially. It's been amazing. So it would be really cool if the Fusion drive makes that kind of dramatic difference. But we have yet to see. I guess we'll have to wait and see once one of these computers comes out. We should probably mention, last but not least, we got new iPad minis.
Mac minis, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mac minis, my bad. There's so many minis happening here, it's hard to keep them straight. So for those that care, we got new Mac minis with upgraded specs. I don't have all the details right in front of me for exactly what we got, but, you know, does anyone care about the Mac mini?
It's a machine these days, I think, and it has, you know, for offices, small office environments.
Yeah, that's true. And actually, I know Buster is running one as well. So it's great if you already have a screen sitting around your house and you just need a Mac to plug into.
I'm connecting to TVs. That's why it's the HDMI out. So a lot of people use it sort of as a living room computer, but yeah, it's not.
That's true, but I mean, for a lot of things that you can do, I mean, with a Mac Mini, couldn't you just use an Apple TV?
Yeah, but people have these really complex setups, right? So they want to, you know, they have like these elaborate torrenting systems, and they want to grab content from stuff that's not available as an app. I think they need torrents.
Not that we condone such things.
Well, there's a lot of legal There's some legal content available.
Some, aka most.
You know, people here want to watch Doctor Who, although BBC America is, you know, broadcast. I mean, they're starting to wise up, the companies, but they used to be like, you know, I mean, the internet is global, but the TV networks aren't. So a lot of people in the UK want to watch, you know, American shows, and the only way to get them is, in a timely manner anyway, is to get it like dodgily through the net. And same with, you know, people here in the States who want to watch UK content. But yeah, it's not legal. No.
Actually, I guess that's a good point. Yeah, if you don't want to have to be tied to the iTunes system of renting shows and that type of thing and using apps to watch Netflix and stuff on your TV, then yeah, Mac Mini would be a great option for doing that. I just built a media PC, honestly. I hate to admit that on this Mac podcast, but it works great, and it cost me like, I think, $350, and I built it probably 2 or 3 years ago. This thing works like a champ. And hey, yeah. Guess what? It's running Windows Vista.
Ooh.
Oh, I can never be on again.
You're bad for life. I had an interesting conversation the other day with a friend here, this Italian guy, and he is he's obsessed with documentaries about wildlife. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you call it? What's the name of the genre? Oh my god. My tiny
I have no idea. Wildlife documentaries.
So anyway, apparently said there's some great Russian ones. The Russians produce some of the best wildlife documentaries that you've ever seen. Because I can't understand a word, but the footage looks great. So he's actually – it's kind of peculiar because he's downloading documentaries from Hungary, Romania, Russia, you know, the UK, Sweden.
Wow.
Such a strange thing to be interested in. But it's through a torrenting system. So he set up this really elaborate torrenting machine to grab all these different wildlife documentaries.
Another novel use for the Mac Mini. Well, that's it. I think that's all we got for today, yeah?
Yep.
We'll definitely be back on Thursday. We're going to be talking about this stuff in more detail. Of course, we'll have a bigger cult cast then. But we wanted to give you guys our first impressions. We're just coming out of the keynote. It just ended probably about 20 minutes ago, and we thought, what better time than now to hop in and give our first impressions. Thank you for listening to the CultCast. The CultCast is the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. You know, you can follow us on Twitter and chat with us there too. Leander is L. Caney. I am at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. Let us know what you think about Apple's new products. Let me know if you're going to be getting an iPad Mini. I want to know what you think. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos, definitely follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. Boy, we are going to be putting out all sorts of great pieces in the next 2 or 3 days about everything that you've heard about today, all the new great products Apple's released. We will catch you guys on Thursday. See you then. going to go download some beaver documentaries, Russian beavers in the wild. Actually, don't search for that on the internet. You know, you might find something you weren't expecting.
I just remembered now why he downloads these Russian documentaries, because there's a community of people that add subtitles.
Oh, really?
This is why he has to have a Mac Mini. Because not only does he get the documentaries, but he also gets the subtitles of documentaries, because there are these, they have these websites where they kind of crowdsource the translations. So you have to get it from two different sources often, right? So you have to get the torrent from BitTorrent, and then you have to go and get the subtitles for the show. So he set up this kind of elaborate system with using all these RSS feeds and stuff like that. So he finally download the translation at the same time that he gets the movie itself. And so he was saying that there's this whole, like, you know, there's a pretty big community of people who make these available, but then they also translate the subtitles. They're available in lots of different languages. It's a really active, like, you know, community. It's kind of amazing.
That's interesting. I love animal documentaries, but normally I like them to have some English subtitles in the least.
Right, exactly. Yeah, well, so now you can get it, you know, in English. And of course, it's Italian, right? So he probably watches it in Italian.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I can finally see all those wonderful Siberian animals that I never get to see on television.
Right, minks.
I'm so into mixes. Oh, beautiful creatures.